Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground, where we like to hang out together on Sunday afternoons. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Valerie, and shout out to BBS Radio. You guys are wonderful folks, and we thank you so much, BBS. I mentioned last week a deep dive into how we pull energies into our bodies. And we did a little bit of a dive last week, and I'm wondering if we're ready to do just a little more. I want to take us through some ideas that explain so much about why we want to be heart-centered. You know, what does that mean, like physically heart-centered, and how that connects to bringing in conscious awareness into our bodies? And so let's do that today together. What do you think? You know, the consideration of new ideas or diving into accepted ideas with new questions really does offer opportunities for growth. And so many of us are pretty certain that something is amiss in our world right now. And I think many of us are beginning to figure that out. And we're, you know, we have a hunger for knowing, right? For knowing. And that's real progress for us as a human race, right? And when we start taking opportunities to remember our knowing, and, you know, as we listen to ideas that might resonate and take the opportunity to be in quiet contemplation and spend time in quiet moments and pay attention to synchronicities, right? These things, they line up to guide us. And so maybe for today, let's follow an idea that works pretty hard to explain how we manage to pull energetic consciousness into physical human bodies like we do. Sometimes we do it, you know, better than others, but we certainly try to stay conscious of how to do that. And so I'm thinking about the Matrix movies just a little bit when I think about that idea and how it introduced us to the idea of conscious awareness and in many, many levels of our human experience. And I thought maybe there might be a few more questions we could ask about it. And I guess to get it out of the way, a lot of folks actually see the unfolding of the universe as a very pragmatic, scientific, mathematical kind of an expression. But not some of us, right? Right? Some of us, a little bit of divine feminine there might rather not agree with that. Some of us are pretty sure it unfolds like a flower, okay, when we talk about the universe, because there are things that we know, right? For example, we know that if you hold a buttercup under your chin and you can see the yellow under your chin, then you're going to find your true love and the universe is going to balance and you're going to live forever in a wonderful experience, right? I mean, we all knew this growing up, right? So, yes, we may need math, but I think we also need flowers too, right? The math needs wildflowers, really, right? To really make sense, doesn't it? So we might use science to explain a field of flowers, for example, but the math, it ain't ever gonna smell as sweet, right? It ain't ever gonna smell as sweet. So anyway, we're gonna try. We are gonna try to put our scientific hats on together, okay? And wear them around a little bit as best we can. And I think that'll be okay, right? So with that very scientific idea in mind, let's delve in. You want to? Let's think about a word that we use all the time, but it may not actually mean what we think it does, or maybe the meaning has actually changed, right? And that word is the word psyche. Psyche. Today we sort of think of psyche as our psychology, right? Many of us do. It's the sensory experience in the mind of who we are and the consciousness managed by an ego, the psyche, right? Well, that's virtually the same thing that Gnostics believed, right? Psyche was a physically bound consciousness tied to our egos. But Gnostics actually believed in another kind of consciousness as well. And our source consciousness that transcended humans, right, from the ego experience of a physical consciousness, right, into a spiritual experience, essentially through spiritual awakening or filling or being filled energetically or alchemically, right, at the cellular level. That's really what Gnostics considered the second kind of consciousness that was truly transcendent, right? From the egoic kind of physical consciousness that we used as sort of a survival expression of the physical body and what we do. And so quantum consciousness actually conceives of these two kinds of consciousness as a collective consciousness. Okay, so the distinguishing is not really there when we think in terms of quantum, right? A conscious energy flow really is what quantum is thinking about, as part of the fabric of the material cosmos. Right? As matter that energizes at the molecular level and it enters the body and animates us at the cellular level. And that's how quantum consciousness is sort of described, right? And the idea doesn't really contemplate a transcendent or spiritual experience just yet. Right, in the quantum mechanics of things, it's still a little too metaphysical, really, for the quantum conversation right now to really consider the transcendent idea, the spiritual ideas behind the energetic, right? So it sort of conceives of consciousness as being, everywhere in a unified field, so to speak, sort of packaged in there in waves. Right, to be pulled in and engaged by the body, as people are able to integrate the energy and as our bodies do what bodies do to integrate the energy. Now, some researchers call this unified energy field a singularity, right? Or building block of the universe that is essentially omnipresent in all things, right? In all things. And that's moving a little closer to the kind of energetics that we enjoy talking about as an expression of spirituality or transcendence, that kind of a thing. Quantum doesn't really enjoy touching that right now, but it is willing to conceive a little bit about what quantum consciousness might actually be. Okay, so there is that concept floating around there. And let's remember that we're dealing with a material physical construct, right? When we talk about quantum mechanics, and we're describing a physical world of matter, right? That includes energy and light, by the way, interacting with the body at a molecular level. And it's like sunshine interacting with the rods and the cones of our eyes, for example, and all of those things that occur or co-occur, right? So quantum consciousness is sort of an extension of that idea of energy flow, right? It's the idea that in order for a body to experience consciousness as an energy, it needs a way to synchronize with the brain's electrical and chemical processes, right? That's the definition of quantum consciousness. That's really how quantum sees consciousness. It's an exchange in the body, and it's an exchange that occurs in the brain's electrical and chemical processes, right? And that'll be a little important for us a little later, when we talk about that kind of brain activity. Quantum mechanics does not really want to touch the question of a life force energy, right? That might be non-physical or non-measurable or purely spiritual, so to speak. I guess we could say that. Right? That idea lies a little outside the playbook there for quantum. So we're talking about consciousness as an energy right now. Right, with the capacity to treat light as wave particles. It's a physical thing. Okay. So here's a question for all of us. And for me, it's a fascinating question because it really answers so many questions about our human natures, right? And the question is, how does consciousness, an energetic thing, how does consciousness bind itself to the sensory inputs experienced by the physical brain, right? If that's how it gets in to our bodies, how does energy bind to the body, essentially? I mean, if we're talking about energy coming in, through this universal expression of life and beingness, how does it get in there, and how does it attach, and you know what's going on? And by the way, I know plenty of folks who say, okay, who really cares, right? Who really cares? And that's true, right? That can be true. But I really want to try to prove a little something to you this afternoon, and that's the idea that you really are magical, right? That's what we're doing here. You are more than your human suffering, right? And you know, some of us need proof of that we are more than the functions of a brain that suffers like it does, right? That we have energy that combines with our chemistry to form God in us, right? To entangle God within us. And I am never going to want to miss a chance, an opportunity, a chance to say that to anybody, because it's a lovely idea and I think it's an essential one, right? So this is why we really, really have to pull our spiritual energies into our bodies as much as we can, right? It's about the magic, really. It's really not so much about the brain power, and we'll find that out in just a minute. It's about the magic, right? We have to pull source into the body to bind with our physical form, right? Which means finding ways to draw it in and hold it, right? So the question might be, how does consciousness, this energetic thing recognized by quantum mechanics, right? How does consciousness bind itself to the sensory inputs experienced by the physical brain, right? How do we get consciousness? How does energy bind to the body, essentially, is what we're asking. And so I guess we could start with what I think is maybe the most beautiful kind of foundation for the idea of conscious awareness. And that's the way Eckhart Tolle explains it. And he says that conscious awareness is stepping out of the conditioned mind, okay, by observing our present moments fully with awareness. So we create an unconditioned state of consciousness, okay? And Tolle called it opening a portal, opening a portal. And the truth is, friends, we all really want to know how we are more than the functions of a brain that suffers so much, don't we? How it is that we have energy that combines with our chemistry, right? How it is that we can call ourselves God, right? And this really is why we exert so much effort pulling spiritual energies into our bodies as much as we can, right? Pulling source in to bind with our physical form. Can we understand that we need to actively integrate this consciousness that flows around us and through us? We have to activate it. We have to activate this exchange of energy coming from a quantum into a physical body. And when we think about it, our good work really doesn't need to be too much more than, inviting spirit into our bodies, opening to those energetic exchanges, right? And for most of us, we're balancing our energies. That's what we do. We pretty much know, I mean, many of us, when we're out of balance, right? And it really is a process in every single thing we do. How is it that we're going to create a balance and keep a balance and maintain a flow of that energetic exchange, right? Unifying with the unified field around us. That's really our goal, right? And that's what we're doing when we pull source energy in. We call it life force, right? Life force energy. Science, maybe not so much, doesn't really care too much for that information. But it is a big idea. It is a very big idea. It is big work for us to do. And, I think about Christ so much. And he tried so hard to explain this idea every way he could. He settled on simplified explanations with most people because, that's kind of where most people were, kind of where they are now, really. And he used this idea of go within yourself and really trying not to make it any harder than that. It's very hard to just keep people simple on the idea, right? We can blow up an idea as complex and complicated as we want to, but really the idea is go within, feed back into yourself that conscious awareness that allows you to manage the balance in your physicality and pull that spirit in to help you do that, right? Pull your spirit into the body. We are merging with our source at every moment, right? It is our magic. It's our magic as who we are, right? It's what we do. And it's really not any more complicated than that. It is essential work, but it's really not any more complicated. And when we think about it, natural things in the natural world, they do this flawlessly, right? It's why we're told really to go out into nature, because we draw in the synchronization of the natural world as it soaks in energies and harmonizes them. And we're standing there in them or sitting there in them, and our feet is walking in that process, right? Our feet are on the ground. And we are feeling that process, and we are drawn into that synchronization, right? So why do we think pollution is so devastating to the natural world, actually, by design, right? It disrupts, it toxifies the energetic process of what's going on, right? The synthesizing with the quantum field. It's where the energetic interacts with physical things. And, there really is no other reason to dump so much junk into our lovely oceans, as an example, but for the design of the disruption of it all. And, we can apply that to ourselves. We disrupt our own processes, don't we? When we let, garbage into our physical bodies and our mental space and our energetic beingness, right? Just like a tree. In many respects, or an ocean, or a honeybee. If we want to draw a little bit of an analogy, no judgment, we can observe these ideas and integrate them a little bit if we want to. We don't have to judge ourselves. And there's a lot of information out there to the contrary, a lot of religious dogma and practices. And, I have to tell you, even New Age stuff, New Age spiritual stuff, it can be a lot of, disruption of this natural energy field when we start trying to apply it, right? It's all in the application of how do we choose to balance all of this stuff. Right? How are we going to choose to balance this human experience? And it all complicates, really, a simple practice of integrating our energies and things like the dogma and the religious kinds of practices and some of the New Age kinds of conversations really confuse the process, and we end up with things like shame and even greater egos, actually. So we've got that to deal with, and then there's all kinds of limiting beliefs, really, that come along with that stuff, and things become complicated very quickly, and we move out of our natural synchronization, our natural synchronicity with all of that stuff that comes our way. And, all we really need to do is breathe in and breathe out and observe with maybe greater awareness our state of consciousness whenever we can, right? Whenever we remind ourselves to do that, integrate conscious awareness as much as we can in our day, which means being mindful, right? Or recognizing what the mind is doing and adjusting it, right? To align with the heart and heart energies. And we'll talk about why that's important, right? So why is this conversation meaningful for me, and why do I want to share it with you today? Well, when we entangle spirits with the energetic workings of the body, we're talking about inviting source energy into the physical realm. That's what we're doing, right? As spirit hosted by and sustained by our physical bodies. And that's not an easy task, friends. We choose it over and over again across the ages. We are so in love with the human experience. It is a pastime that we love so dearly. I think we will all realize that one day. But keep in mind, these are bodies that undergo a great deal of trauma and suffering and all kinds of hardship and difficulties. And tethering to source is a real feat here in this realm, right? So, how much effort it must take for a body under so much stress to actually be able to integrate consciousness, right? And sometimes we might wonder, can it even be done? Right? So, do we see why our spirits might choose to come and go because, of the chaotic energetic environments that, we might experience? And why we want to continue to learn to integrate spirit back into our physicality as a conscious activity that we are constantly doing, right? Do we understand? Does that make sense? And maybe that's why our practices need to be centered on filling our bodies with our spirit at any given time, right? We're pulling in the ethereal into the physical, and that takes effort, and it takes balance, right? It takes balance. It is truly heroic to command spirit into a physical vessel, right? It's not easy. It's not easy to sustain, that's for sure. And we're talking about inviting source energy into the physical part of us to commune with us, right? And I guess a lot of the reason that I want to spend time together talking about it is because some of us really do need evidence in maybe a scientific way of our magical natures so that maybe we can believe in ourselves, right? Of being energetic in our body, and it's hard sometimes to believe that we're more, right? That we are magical, that you are the unicorn in the garden. And I love saying that. I love saying it to you. You are the unicorn in the garden. Connected to the divine, you can know a world beyond rational understanding, right? That's magic. What is rational understanding? Well, it's empirical, it's objective encounters, right? They don't have the option for direct experience that cannot be defined objectively, right? Rational understanding. It's a very difficult place to get to when you want to be magical, right? When you cannot be defined objectively, that's magic, right? That's magic. When we say there are no words for what I just experienced, maybe we go through something and we sit down and we say, wow, I have no words. I have no words, or I can't believe what I just experienced. Well, that's not empirical, right? It's strictly subjective. It's magical. It's why magic is personal to each of us. The experience is born of us uniquely, and we don't want to lose sight of that, right? It doesn't work any other way. And when we are pulling spirit in, our own spirit, and having our own energetic experience, it's going to happen through that magic that maybe quantum isn't quite prepared to define yet, or maybe quantum hasn't quite discovered yet. But it's there, right? It's there. It's in all of us uniquely and individually, even as a unified field. That's really what makes us extraordinary, is the spark is unique magic, right? All the great magic we see on TV, when you think about it. Right, all the magic shows, right, on TV, the very intricate, complicated shows that we may, go to Las Vegas, watch a magic show. That's really not magic, friends, right? It's more empirical, really, than we realize. And true magic sort of defies that definition. It's sort of a function of our energetic creation wilds, right? It just is. We just are as we co-create being, right? As each of us experiences who we are, We become increasingly unmeasurable and non-empirical. And science would say that true magic is what we call non-falsifiable, right? It can't be tested or replicated. It just occurs through us because of us, right? Your magic is all you, and your relationship with your universe is you and only you, the unicorn in the garden, your universes of universes, right? And the rest of us, we get to experience the you in physicality. And it's such a gift, each of us experiencing each other. And we don't really stop and appreciate that, do we? That we may all feel the same as humans, but we are so divinely unique, and every conversation and every moment to share and exchange together on a human level is such a unique experience that brings unicorns together to, you know, enjoy the wonderment. It's quite magical. So, as you know, as we talk about how energy hangs out in the body, we really are looking at a rational model of explanations. Okay, so we're going to allow for magic, right, to explain the rest of what we know is there, right? Our spark, that's the magic and the energy body equation, right? So we're going to allow that, and then we're going to use something of a rational model to talk a little more about consciousness and this synchronization in the quantum field, right? So the idea of our spirit body connection really centers on the science that quantum waves collapse into the sensory experiences in our brain. Okay, that's where we'll start, right? And the collapse creates consciousness around those sensory experiences. All right, do we understand? That's the explanation of quantum consciousness, okay? So the question might be, does spirit hitch a ride on those waves, right? As it comes and goes. And there is a thing called the quantum theory of soul, right? Which does say spiritual energy is part of the information held within the quantum energy field, right? But that's really as far as ideas go right now, right? How spirit integrates with the quantum field is, it's a little too metaphysical, right, for quantum. And so, you know, it does entangle with our material world, but quantum will only go so far. So there is a point I'm trying to get to, right, that suggests a heart-centered theory of spiritual integration. That's really where I want us to get to today, the idea. But we sort of have to go through the brain, right, and this definition in order to get there. Because science has focused on the brain as the environment where consciousness synchronizes into the body, right? Now, those ideas are evolving, and there has been an evolution of those ideas, and we're going to talk about it. But here's the thing. The science already confirms a very key idea about the synchronization of consciousness. And it's a very important idea for us to be very clear on. The integration of consciousness in the brain immediately encounters problems. Immediately. There's a theoretical issue, right, that comes into play very, very quickly when the brain tries to integrate energetic consciousness, right? And research has taken us right here. It's taken us right here to the idea. The issue is that consciousness decoheres way too quickly in the brain, right? Well, what does that mean? It dissipates, right? It disappears. It can't cohere with brain functions on their own. So the theory is that consciousness really has no staying power in the brain, to be, you know, to be very basic about that idea. Do we understand that? So research has already taken us there, okay? Researchers already say that the brain is really not suited to maintain extended consciousness as a quantum experience, right? Do we follow that? Aren't we fascinated? So where does our capacity for consciousness come from? If the brain, which we use, I mean, it is our computer system, right? For this thing we call a physical body. Where does our capacity for consciousness come from if the brain doesn't have very much capacity to maintain consciousness, right? How do we sustain it in the body? How do we do that? If our brains cannot sustain consciousness physically as a thought process, bound by quantum wave functions, right? Then how do we do it? Right? And the question might be, so does it matter where and how we are creating conscious awareness in the body? I mean, most of us go straight to the brain. We want to sit down on a cushion and meditate right there in the brain. We want to go straight to the mind to do all of this good work on conscious awareness. Is that really where we need to be? That's the million-dollar question, right? Are we using the brain as our effort at connecting with conscious awareness and faltering? And we are dissatisfied and we can't sustain a satisfaction in our practices, right? And we wonder why. You know, are we using something else in this body that might actually better explain the flow of consciousness into our physical bodies, right? Is there a theory for something else that might be happening that lets us maintain this flow of conscious awareness? And, you know, there is a theory for that. And the theory for what really happens is that we experience conscious awareness through heart-brain coherence, right? We experience the longevity of holding conscious awareness, not through the brain, but through the heart and the capacity for the heart to generate coherence with brain functions. Okay, do we understand? And I'm going to quote here, the theory of heart-brain coherence posits that coherent heart rhythms can lead to expanded consciousness, intuition, and a sense of interconnectedness with the unified field from which everything arises. The heart does that good work. Do we see that? And I don't want to, you know, go out on a limb. I am just talking about what is accepted ideas in quantum work, accepted conversations, right? That folks who are in the know can sit and talk about. So essentially, in order for the brain to extend its ability to hold a conscious state, it needs the heart's energetic work to do it, right? The idea is that a coherent heart rhythm can synchronize other systems in the body, including the brain, causing them all of them to oscillate in the same consistent frequency, right? So the heart unifies the energetic field of the body as we experience conscious awareness. The heart does that. right? The heart is guiding the brain in our creating conscious awareness, not the other way around, friends. Our conscious awareness is not an ego function. It is not a cognition-driven function. It's a heart function.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.